You know, there is a line in Luke 2 in the Nativity story where it says, Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. You know, after all of the shepherds had taken off, after the angel choirs had subsided, after the reality that she had just given birth hundreds of kilometers from home, when that reality stuck in, I wonder what she thought about. I wonder what she learned from her experience that night and what that taught her about life from that point on. So what we're going to do tonight is revisit the Christmas story, but from Mary's point of view. And we're going to fix ourselves kind of in the present, but we're going to imagine Mary in the past when she first found out from the angel that she was going to be pregnant with the Son of God. Then Mary on Christmas Eve, that first Christmas Eve when she first gave birth to her son Jesus. And then Mary in the future, the first Christmas after the first Easter. So we're going to fix ourselves there and visit Mary in the past, the present, and the future to see what she learned from her experience on Christmas night and what that means for us as we walk in faith as well. So we're going to go over to Jody first to begin.
It was unlike anything I'd ever seen before. There I was, meeting my family's granddad, when out of nowhere, a brilliant light filled the room, an angel appeared before me. Before I could react, he spoke with a voice that was at once both commanding and reassuring. "Greetings, O favored one," he said, "the Lord is with you." I didn't know what to make of it, so I took a step back, wiping the flower off my hands. "Do not be afraid," he continued, "for you, Mary, have found favor with God." I don't know what happened. Every bone in my body wanted to run. But when he said, "Do not be afraid," a feeling of calm confidence washed over me. I wanted to hear what he had to say. He continued, "Listen well, Mary, for you will conceive a child and give birth to a son, and you will give him the name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." The Son of God, the Son of David, an eternal throne? This was the Messiah he was talking about. But there's a problem. "How will this be?" I stammered. "Joseph and I are engaged, but we never even held hands." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby you will carry will be holy, for he is the Son of God." This was all too much. The Son of God, the long-awaited Savior. These were earth-shattering promises, but through me, how? As if to address the impossibility of it all, he continued, "If you don't believe it, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People thought she would never have children, but she is now in her 6th month. For nothing is impossible with God." I bowed my head and said, "I am the servant of the Lord. May it be to me as you have said." And with that, the angel was gone, and I was alone with my bread and my thoughts. They came over like a river, those thoughts, all at once. Who am I that I should be worthy of such a privilege? I mean, yes, Joseph and I were both connected way, way back to David's family line, but we hadn't seen anything good from the house of David in years, and yet God had promised a king on David's throne to rule with justice, to lead his people, to give them a life. And I was to be his mother? I'm just a kid. I can't do this. And what will the people say? How will Joseph respond? How on earth will I, Mary, raise up a Messiah to save his people? And then my thoughts were interrupted by the memory of the angel. It's not just earth, Mary, but all the power of heaven itself is behind this business, and nothing is impossible with God. Could I trust that? Of course. This is the Lord we're talking about here, the maker of all things, who spoke all things into being by the power of his word. The God that gave children to Sarah, Rebecca, and my Aunt Lizzie, when all the world said it would never happen. If he said that I was to carry his son, then he would make it happen, and I can trust him with that. For nothing is impossible with God. I told myself, so take a step of faith.
So much has happened since that angel appeared to me. First, I went off to see my Aunt Elizabeth, partly to see if the news was true, but also to get away from the rumors about my baby. Joseph was not pleased when he found out I was pregnant, but then the Lord appeared to him in a dream to tell him that this baby was indeed the Son of God. Just like the angel said to me, the Lord told Joseph, "You are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So Joseph was on board, but the rumors persisted. So off I went to Aunt Lizzie's, and sure enough, she was pregnant, a barren woman carrying a child. Truly, nothing is impossible with God. And it gets better. In my 8th month, it became clear that we had to travel to our hometowns for a census. So off we went to our ancestral home, the town of Bethlehem, the city of David. I wasn't so sure, because really, who wants to travel that far when you're that pregnant? But then I remembered, nothing is impossible with God. Just take a step of faith. So in faith we left, and when we arrived, we found no place to stay, but an innkeeper allowed us to stay in his shelter. I sensed that the time was coming, so I prepared a place for him there, and sure enough, it was there that Jesus was born, my firstborn son, the Son of God. I wrapped him in strips of cloth and laid him in the manger. I gazed into his eyes all that night. People usually look to see who the baby resembles, but all I could think was that I was staring at the face of God. And then these shepherds showed up. They had been out in the fields nearby, keeping their flocks by night, when suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around. I don't know if it was the same angel who came to me, but it might have been, because he told them what he told me. Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And then a great company of angels appeared with the first one, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and peace on earth to all who delight in God's will." With that, the angels left, and the shepherds left their flocks to come here, telling everyone what they had seen, every little detail, right down to the last hallelujah. They were so excited to see my son, the Lord who had come to bring peace between God and man. Even as they left, they were praising God for the privilege of seeing Jesus. And I just wanted to sleep. But not Jesus. He just wriggled and squirmed. So as I held the Son of God, I sat and thought on the incredible things that had happened. Miraculous visitors, supernatural choirs, a holy baby born to a virgin girl. Truly, nothing is impossible with God. I don't know what lies ahead, what it means to raise a son like this. I don't know what lies in store for Joseph and Jesus and me, but what I've seen gives me strength. For nothing is impossible with God. You just got to take a step of faith.
Today would have been his 34th birthday. 34 years! But then, how do you count it when you've been raised from the dead? Start over? Just keep counting? He would have been 34, or my firstborn, Jesus. I know now about that man, Simon, when he said to me at Jesus' dedication, "This child is appointed for the rise and fall of many in Israel, and the sword will pierce your soul. I know all too well they nailed him to the cross and pierced my soul as they did. And yet there was this calm confidence in his eyes as he hung there, the same confidence I swear I saw in his eyes the night he was born. This is why he was born, to give his life, to give us life, to forgive us all for rejecting God, and then to rise again triumphant over death forever. His whole life was leading to this, impossible things, healing the lame, giving sight to the blind, raising the dead, dying, and rising to restore us to God. And now he's gone back into heaven to be with his Father, preparing a place for us, a place that he himself secured. Oh, how many times I have prepared a place for him, and now he's doing it for me, an eternal home, a place to rest in the presence of God, and he's doing that for all who will believe. I don't know how I'll do it this year without him. I don't know what happens from here in purposes of God, but I know I'm not alone. He is Emmanuel, God with us, and he's never failed me yet. And as tough as it may get, as uncertain as the times may be, nothing is impossible for God. I've seen that with my own eyes. You just gotta take a step of faith.
I think it's really interesting to imagine what Mary was thinking that first Christmas Eve, to imagine what she made of all of these incredible things that she saw this very night. I mean, visited by an angel, and then out in the field, visited by all sorts of angels, a virgin giving birth. I can't help but think that she took this as evidence of God's power. And then again in Jesus' life, he gave sight to the blind, gave strength to the weak, healed the broken, and then of course he died and he rose again. I'm sure all of that counted up as evidence for Mary that she could count on God. I am sure that she was a woman of deep faith. But I don't think it just happened. I don't think Mary just woke up one morning and was like, I'm a woman of deep faith. I'm sure that she had to learn again and again what it meant to walk in faith, trusting in the God who does impossible things. I'm sure she had to consciously remember God's faithfulness in the past, apply it to her present, and allow that to give her hope and strength for the future. Where are you at tonight? You know, maybe you're like Mary when the angel first came to her, kind of aware of God's goodness, but not really willing to let him take care of the details of your life. May I say to you, take a step of faith. Maybe you are like Mary on Christmas Eve, looking back, thinking, what a privilege it is to be blessed in these ways. What a privilege it is to be able to know God and to walk with him and to play a part in his plan. If that's you, keep taking steps of faith. Maybe you're like Mary after the death and resurrection of Jesus, having to learn all over again what it means to follow a God who does impossible things. Just take a step of faith. I mean, when you look at Christmas Eve, you see a holy baby born to a virgin girl. You see that baby grow into a man who would live and do miracles and teach and die and be raised to life again. Nothing is impossible for God. So just take a step of faith. You know, he is not asking you to do miracles. He alone can do miracles. He is simply asking you to take that step of faith, to trust Him, to walk with Him, and to allow Him to do a good work in you, to bless the world around you. Nothing is impossible for God. Take a step. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for Mary, because she gives us an insight into what it means to have to trust in you in crazy situations. And Lord, thank you for coming to earth to be our Savior and Redeemer and friend. Lord, I pray that wherever people are right now, tonight, that you would meet them. I don't know the words they need to hear right now, but you do. And your Holy Spirit works in our hearts. So, Lord, I pray the truth of Jesus entering into the world, entering into our hearts to redeem us and renew us and give us life and purpose and hope for tomorrow. I pray that it would take hold of us and move us from this day forward. In Jesus' name we pray.